This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Often Everland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation and you don't know what to do, or even if you do know what to do, go on over their website, go to neverland.com. They'll help you plan a great vacation. If you have enough time, they're going to make sure you have everything you need, from your fast passes, your itinerary. They will hook you guys up, and make sure to mention that you are part of the WDW Today family, and we appreciate you guys using them for the year of 2016. Thank you guys so much. Again, their website is go to neverland.com, and as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to neverland.com. Check it out.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Friday, August 5th, and this is a special episode of WDW Today, episode 1524, I believe, 1524, a second part of our trip report, because the first trip report ran long. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
Let's continue on our journey. So where you left us, I had just completed my first day at Walt Disney World with my son. We did Magic Kingdom, did Hollywood Studios, and now on to day two, which maybe was not as jam-packed, but we got to do a lot more cool, unique stuff.
So day two, I know, through the wonders of air travel, Will shows up that morning.
Yes.
From Nashville.
Had a 5:45 in the morning flight, and I did not check a bag to make sure I got to the park as quick as possible. Logan texted me right as I was landing that he and Riker were about to head over to Epcot, and I went straight to the rental car, and we got there right around the same time. Y'all, did y'all sneak in a meet and greet right before? So the only thing I didn't do was meet Baymax.
Right.
So maybe tell him.
Yeah.
Tell him about the Baymax, and then I'll pick right back up when I arrive.
Yeah, we arrived just, I mean, it took a long time for us on the monorail to get to Epcot. A bummer of a long time. We just missed the monorail from Epcot to the park.
You could have probably driven to Claremont.
It was, yes. And so we just missed it. They're like, you're going to have to hit the next one. Cool. And I forget the Epcot monorail. It wasn't running like the Magic Kingdom one was, where every 5 minutes. It took a long time. So we probably got there around 8:20, and we didn't get in the park till at 9 o'clock, like on the dot.
Literally, you just waited for that monorail.
Waiting for that monorail the whole time. And that was a pain. From the second stop, you know, getting off the monorail, changing. By the time we got, it was extra magic hours, so we were able to sneak in like literally 1 minute before extra magic hours was over, which was good because we were able to get through the line fast. And we knew Will was on the way, so we just beelined it for Baymax. And I didn't tell my son that we were going to meet Baymax, so I thought he'd be super pumped. He was in a Baymax shirt. He loves Big Hero 6. He saw him, freaked out, was super excited. As soon as he got in line, he's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm like, buddy, you love characters. What's going on? And I think it was just the size of Baymax freaked him out. And by the time we got up there, he's like, if you hold me or you are with me, then I'll be fine. And he loved him. Like, he loved talking to him when we got up there. And I wish Baymax talked, by the way. Why can't he talk? If Kylo Ren can talk, Baymax can talk. So that's probably the only
Mickey bummer. Mouse's mouth can move.
Right. A character with no mouth can talk.
Right.
And I wish he did talk. But he didn't talk, so I was like, okay. And he's like three things he says, so we would have been fine. So we met Baymax, and he loved that, but was intimidated by his size. Because Baymax is probably a good foot taller than me, and he's three times as large as me.
Yeah, he's a round man.
He's not
man.
Like Mickey, where it's like you're meeting a character that's shorter than Daddy and taller than me, you know, somewhere in between. This is a huge character. It kind of weirded him out. He took a couple pictures by himself, but I'm not posting those anywhere because his face, he's like, you can tell he didn't love it. But he loved telling people that he met Baymax. But it was a little bit freaky. So yeah, then we waited. We found a shady spot under Spaceship Earth. I grabbed some fast passes, and I waited for Will.
And I popped into the park, and
by what, 9:30?
Yeah, after like parking,
yeah, I mean, like,
getting my pass and getting in, I landed at 8:30, and I was in the park at by 9:30.
I love that Southwest flight that gets you there at you're in
right.
You get a whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
I went up, and Riker told me we were going to ride the Epcot ball, so we went, and it was it said 5 minute wait, but we walked literally right on.
Yeah,
didn't even stop walking really. Hopped on, did that. That was a lot of fun. I love always doing Spaceship Earth. There was a glitch this time. So it took my picture twice when they, you know how they superimpose your face. Yeah. And at the end.
Yeah, I tried to lift up Riker so his picture would be the one they chose.
And for some reason, it it took two different facial expressions of me and put them up, and we'll tweet out the picture because it's pretty funny. And Riker thought that was hilarious. He
still talks about that.
He's like,
talking about today.
He'd be like, "Hey, Uncle Will, remember when they took two pictures of you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, it was funny."
And he said, "One day they're going to take a picture of me," and I felt like, "Oh, poor guy."
Yeah, I know.
But it was fun, and he did great on the screen stuff. He really liked that. And Spaceship Earth, it is what it is. Riker enjoys that show. And I enjoy it, especially when we get to the part at the top. You know, I never think about it because I'm now such a podcast listener and podcast maker that you go with more of a critical mind. People are absolutely right that second half is nothing. Right. Like, you forget it's a whole half. Like, you are going down for a long time. I really like the video stuff, but like, I talked to my brother last night. He's like, "Well, how would they do it? Like, technology moves too fast. That, and what is future technology? We can't even really fathom it." So I understand why it's there, but they could at least like kept the stars going, you know, something. Right. So it was fine. But you realize that when you're thinking more critically, really about Epcot in general, how much it needs work.
Yeah. Cause the first half is fantastic and you feel like, wow, this is
great. Spaceship Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get to the other half and it's like, oh.
But again, it's a critical mind thing. I think if I was just had no idea, great. You know, I had that for a couple experiences.
So we moved on and it was still early. So World Showcase wasn't open. Except for the, I like to call it Norway, but so Mexico Pavilion was open and Norway was open. Right. So we went in and we went over to Norway and we met the lovely Anna and Elsa.
And that's because the Frozen ride was broken,
right?
Which seems to be the common thing we hear a lot.
So we were going to go see if we could get on that. We couldn't, yeah. And then we met. Took no time. I was shocked at how quick. This is also a testament. We mentioned that it wasn't that busy in the park, that we walked straight in pretty much to meet Anna and Elsa.
There was
and
maybe I figured a 5-minute
it was going to be
maybe.
Like an hour. That little room, like it's the summer house.
Yeah, the queue and everything. Yeah.
It is unreal. Like, and I'm not the character meet and greet kind of guy, but just the. You're
certainly not the
thing.
Frozen guy.
Right.
For the record, like Stardate, you know, I feel like we should mark this down. Will is freaking out over the character room. And I'm excited.
Yeah,
for
no,
this
I just, I really liked the detail they did.
Up, yeah.
It was very pretty. The air conditioning worked very nicely. And we just went in there, and then Logan and I looked like Riker's two dads. And
fine. We got asked if we were a single-party household many times, which is fine, whatever.
So we went.
Which I said yes one time, not realizing what like
what they meant.
What they meant, because they were going to bring him an art print. Long, we'll get to that point, but they didn't because we were a single party household.
So we went in, and Riker met Anna and Elsa, and he got so starstruck and shy.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Like,
he doesn't
man.
Do that with characters.
No, and then as we were walking out, and they were great. They were really great with him. They were, I wish I knew everything they were saying to him. They were just like smiling, and I know Elsa was talking about Sven, and that it was like the teddy bear Riker had. And all this.
Anna was talking about chocolate with him. I mean, multiple minutes.
Right. They spent a lot of time with
minutes.
Him, got him comfortable, and got good, really good pictures out
great
of it.
Pictures.
We're walking out, and Riker goes, "They're really pretty."
Yeah.
So it was a fun moment.
Yeah, Anna kissed Riker on the cheek and left a big giant like lipstick mark. So it's hilarious. So all these pictures we have Grady's big lipstick mark from Anna. Weirdly, the person in the store was jealous of him.
Yeah, it was odd.
One thing to say about the meet and greet, because it was about 5-minute wait, and honestly, we were there for the half a day. It never got over 20 minutes to meet Anna and Elsa. I don't know if there's multiple Anna and Elsas. I don't know is that how it is set up there?
Yeah.
Well, just, you can't really tell the way. It's not like the Mickey one where it's like, obviously you're going in another room. Like, I couldn't see where they would have separated it, but they were amazing. It was a great, Will's right. The queue is awesome. And we can kind of say, like, the Norway Pavilion still feels like Norway.
So is Olaf not there? Is there no Olaf?
He wasn't in the meet.
You meet Olaf at Hollywood Studios.
Oh.
So I was a little afraid that it was going to be Frozen Land, not Norway. And it was even, you go in the chapel, the old church, that it has inside like the inspiration from Norwegian culture. Folklore and culture for Frozen. So I appreciated they still tie it in. The store, while it was 75% Frozen stuff, still had like the troll, still had a lot of the Norwegian. You could get like the Helly Hansen.
Just give me a second, I still buy my Helly Hansen.
Right, coat. You can still get that.
They left, left probably a quarter of the store to still be
Norway.
Norway.
And so I was, I was a little bit more okay with it because, you know, I was so anti the Frozen.
Yeah.
Still wasn't planning on riding it.
Right.
And it was broken down, so I'm like, okay, I'm off the hook. So we went back to Mexico Pavilion.
Yeah.
Took Riker on one of my favorite rides of all time, which is the Grand Fiesta Tour, and it had a great time. Walked right up on that. It's still early in the morning.
Yeah, we're talking.
So
is this the first time you've done Grand Fiesta with the animatronics?
Yes, all of us. Right.
It was
really cool.
It was great. It made my favorite ride that much better. Get off that. Head back and
La Cava, not open.
Yeah, not open. Not open until 11:30.
11:30.
Because we were thinking about getting some chips and dip and a little morning to you, and they were not.
You've been up half a day.
It was very close to. I think it was like 11. It was like right at 11. So at that point, like it was, we could have had a drink and had some food. It would have been good.
Right.
Which is what we did.
Yes. So then we decided we had Fast Pass at for Frozen. While we were waiting for that, we walked all the way over to Morocco.
And Frozen was closed at this point. We couldn't get on it, even though we had morning.
So we went over to Tangerine Cafe and had some lunch. And I was really pumped because of my I wanted to have a tie-in for the podcast, my other podcast. And so we went to the American Pavilion at Liberty Inn. Yeah. I knew that they had this new Buffalo Trace bourbon and frozen Coke. So if essentially Coke icy, Buffalo Trace bourbon in it. Sounds like heaven. The frozen Coke machine was broken.
Wah, wah, wah.
Logan's like, you didn't get it. Nope. Yep. Couldn't get it.
Back a couple waters.
And so I went back to the China Pavilion and got a Tipsy Ducks in Love. And
all was right in the world.
Everything was better. And then Logan's like, we got a fast pass here. You're going to pound that? So,
exactly.
So I finished my chocolatey bourbon drink in the middle of the heat
at 10 a.m.
And Riker convinced Uncle Will to ride the frozen ride with him. The only force in nature
that could have
gotten me to do it was
4-year old
was Riker.
And Tipsy Ducks in Love.
Exactly. Yeah,
came together exactly. To get you on the frozen attraction.
And to back up, Tangerine Cafe, I know we preach it all the time. My goodness. We've said it.
So good.
It was so good. And I'm on the diet, so I could eat meat and I could eat some of those things. I couldn't eat the pita bread, stuff like that. Riker loved it. He ate about half of it, I'd say. Will and I talked about this. People fail at that kind of food.
All the time.
Most restaurants that do Middle Eastern food, especially walk-up restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a 70-80% chance it's going to stink. It is so good that it's almost shockingly good. Like, how are they doing this so
I had
well?
I love their... Because they actually list it wrong.
Yeah.
They call it shawarma, but it's really a gyro platter.
Yeah.
So we had the lamb and chicken gyro shawarma platter combo, which is actually gyro meat. And I love the chicken gyro meat.
Yeah.
Because they shave it off. Chicken, it's the same texture and everything.
It's
and
real
flavor.
Good,
it's
too.
So good.
Okay. Well, we've always talked about that. Tangerine Cafe.
That's our next spinoff podcast is just, a Tangerine Cafe podcast.
Just the Morocco Pavilion.
Which Will brought up. It's a pun.
Yeah. Yeah, we always talk about Tangerine Cafe. It's like Tangier, in Morocco.
Right.
Tangier.
I never thought
cafe.
About it.
I always thought of like the fruit. It's a play on words. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So we finally got our fast pass dinged in to go to Frozen Ever After. After it had been broken, it quickly reopened after it was broken. It was probably only broken for 20 or 30 minutes. And got through fast pass in... 5 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't
minutes.
Long at all.
I almost wish
we had. And I don't wish we'd waited an hour with Riker.
Yeah, because it was.
But
it was
there was part of me
that
wanted to go back and by myself, like wait the 70 minutes to look at all the stuff in. But you still get to see a good portion of it.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Logan, you don't realize you're in the Norway structure anymore.
Right there isn't
until
that feeling.
Right until you load.
Yeah.
Into the
Before
boat.
Then, like it feels like a new building because it's not the line. It's not. I mean, we're old. Old stinking
Norway, right?
Maelstrom. It was a blank wall and a mural, and then you just queued back and forth.
Yeah,
not this one.
I think it literally is a new building because they built a building on there to get you kind of around because they knew they would have to.
Well, there's like stonework and like velvet drapes.
Yeah, there's no way, actually. You have to be right, because it was so big.
You know how kind of when you've looked at that Google Maps overview and you see how kind of like there's a country in between Norway, if you've ever looked at that, where people have said, hey, how much room is left? Yeah. They took half of whatever that space next to them.
You can kind of tell, and you get to go through, we didn't get to, we could peek in, like Oaken's trading post, but like a smaller, for what they call it, a smaller version of Oaken. So Riker got to kind of peek in and look at that, and he liked that. And we were probably on the ride within 15 minutes, and it was a 75-minute wait at that point.
Nice.
And the ride, it's going to – I'm sure there are people who are going to love it and hate it. I loved it. And I will say there are a few things that I didn't like about it. But overall, if I'm just going to say blanket statement, and I'm sure Will has some responses to me, it is by far my favorite Fantasylandish, I'd say. You know, like kids dark ride. Like it is – awesome. Small World, maybe left alone, like, because I don't really think of that as like a kid's movie base. I'll say this, my favorite movie based dark ride,
over Pirates.
Well, I don't, but Pirates was first.
Okay,
like I consider the ride for Haunted Mansion, I'm not considering that a movie.
Yeah, okay, I get you.
Of like the ones that they took it and they themed a ride after it.
Gotcha.
Little Mermaid, all of those. Winnie the Pooh, I think this is heads and tails my favorite.
I'm a sucker,
short though, short
for projection and what I've seen.
See,
with
that's
the
my one complaint.
Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead though.
I mean, I love where they're going with all the projection.
Yeah.
And the technology is just there. So they're like, you know, with like the castles and, you know, like.
Yeah. Some of it was awesome. The character faces, I didn't dig. Like, okay. Of the girls and of Kristoff, the Olaf Snow, and the Snowball, or whatever called Marshmallow, Sven, awesome animatronics. They look incredible. Except for one little issue I'm sure we'll touch on. But the girls, the projection face, they move very fluidly, like one of the New Hall presidents or like a Jack Sparrow flows. But the face projection is a little off-putting. You can very much see that it's a projection. It doesn't feel... I don't know. That was my... If I had to complain about anything, that
I've
would
seen
be
some pictures that are terrifying.
Yeah.
That are people who are catching mid somehow in the middle of that. That
yeah. That's my only complaint, I'd say, is that I think they could have done better, maybe just traditional animatronics. Because they weren't like characters they had to make perfect. I mean, think about how awesome Johnny Depp looks.
Yeah.
They could have done that.
So I personally was going to plan on ripping it apart, everything I could. At the very beginning, when you see Olaf for the first time, and this, whereas I almost was like, okay, I'm going to hate this for good. There was some sort of stutter in his animatronic.
Yeah.
Whereas
he kind of like walks
like
up
everything
on you.
Else was great, but it's like, it was jerky, which may have been what the issue they were having. Yeah. Like the animatronic was shutting down or something, but it just, I was like, okay, yeah, they can't even get an animatronic right. Yeah. Then later he's like ice skating and it's the most fluid, perfect thing I've ever seen. So it was good. A weird complaint I had is that Maelstrom felt crappy. Like, you kind of expect, like, it felt like an old ride, and that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
And because a lot of the guts of this are the same, and it's just the experience is different, I think that threw me off. Because it's like, they spent all this time on the walls and the projection and everything, but you're still going up old roller coaster, clink, 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 clink.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
and then also you're bumping into things and it's jerky.
Yeah, the boats are slamming into each other.
So the boats are like, okay, you couldn't, I understand, I don't know. I'm not an engineer or an imagineer.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could or couldn't have done. But I thought that it was a little strange how the guts of it were still so archaic, and then you're like, okay, I'm good. This thing could shut down in front of it.
That's maybe the problem.
But then the projection, everything. I did like. There's a grand reveal. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but even though a lot of people probably watched it, like a very Elsa moment, I'll say.
Yeah.
And the way it continued into multiple rooms and scenes was a little mind blowing for me. That is where I'm like, okay. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I still don't like it replaced Maelstrom.
Right.
There's still some things. It's not a perfect ride by any means, but there were some really cool moments. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I like that.
And also it depends if you like the movie. You know, one of my friends said it.
I've never seen Frozen. Stuff,
but I think that's even better that you've never seen it, that you don't hate it.
Right.
Because some of my friends who hate it were like, well, I don't like Frozen and I don't like the ride. Well, yeah, you're not going to like it. If you love Frozen, and I do, like, I'm sorry, I'm on Team Frozen. you know, more than probably any of the princessy movies. It's probably my favorite. Even Tangled. Sorry. I like Frozen. I love the music in Frozen a lot. I can't even tell you. I can tell you one song in Tangled. I can tell you all the songs in Frozen.
That's what's wrong with Tangled. That
yeah.
We're talking
the,
about.
Yeah. The music isn't.
If Tangled had better music, it would be a better movie every day.
Mandy
Moore and her music.
Agree to disagree. I loved the Frozen ride. And again, I don't get emotional about things, but I have a very deep connection with that movie. It was one of the first movies my son and I watched a lot. My girls are starting to kind of react to it. So I just love the movie. So during that moment that Will mentioned, it was a hit you in the gut kind of way. I was like, oh, I love this. I was all in. And the drop is still there. In sort of a funny way with Marshmallow, and that doesn't really spoil it. Nothing really happens. What I do love about this ride, it is the first kids dark ride that I can think of. Because I can even think of like Winnie the Pooh having some weird moments. It has the weird whole dream sequence. There's not a scary
thing in evil it. To it.
Like the part with Marshmallow is he's happy. Like it's the good Marshmallow towards the end of the ride. There is no there's no jump moments. And I love the drop would be the only thing. And they make that drop fun.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of weird. The photos from the drop showed up on my app, and it's kind of freaked me out because it's like, how do they even know which ride car I was in? Like, so I guess I know that, but it kind of freaks
That's
me
what
out.
Freaks you
like, oh yeah, it scanned me right there. So good to know.
From there, we made our way over to the Land Pavilion
yes.
with a short little stop at Club Cool.
Yes, so Will could experience it.
And because I haven't done Club Cool since I was
a baby.
Yeah, real young.
Yeah.
So most of the Coke machines were out of order. So we
wasn't a good day for the Coca-Cola company, no. Epcot, was it? The
right.
Frozen Coke was
too hot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we moved on then to the Land Pavilion. We did a thing that I had done as a kid. Logan had never done. We watched the movie, The Circle of Life.
The Circle of Life. We did the entire Land Pavilion.
Yeah, which is the first time I think I've done that since I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
But we watched that, and if you haven't seen the Lion King Circle of Life movie in 20 years, it hasn't changed.
It's hilarious.
It's so
it's terrifying, like, and it's hilarious.
Like anti-corporate, anti-tourism.
Yeah, it's real weird.
You're like, Timon and Pumbaa, we're building a resort. Simba's like, No, you must preserve the land
in
the
great
circle of life. Look at this pollution.
Dust is flying up in
girl's
face.
There's a girl riding a bike and a cloud of dust goes by.
And it's still on film, so it's got like the burn holes. And
it's just weird that ride is still
there. It's weird that there was probably a dozen people.
What was so weird to me is how big of a theater it was.
Huge.
Like at some point they were like, this is going to be full. We got it. We got to fill this park up with.
And like, it's super dated to the point where they show Earth Day 1990.
Yeah.
People
spoke out in 1990 Earth Day.
Yeah. And which was when they recorded it like 4 years ago.
There's going to be an electric car one day.
Right.
And this is why.
And they show cars from the 80s and 90s.
We talk about Future World because that's definitely.
Yeah. I just don't get that one because like that's easily updated. Like that's something you could just throw
just
in a new movie. And well, I guess they have to get a new projector because who's making film?
Right.
And run something else. But it's there and it's just fine. My son actually kind of liked it. Kind of scared him a couple of parts because it gets pretty dark in there.
Play with your phone.
Play with your phone because it's like there's like, you know, animals, dead animals everywhere at some point. Like
oil spill birds.
Dead fish or real close up.
I don't know why they have a lion guard in there.
Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of Lion Guard,
we'll get to that.
All right.
So then we went and did the Living with the Land ride. The same.
Solid.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Were the gators really covered up? There. I've seen the pictures.
There were no gators.
The gators.
I think the gators are gone.
Yeah.
Now, I've said gators weren't gone on anything else. They were there for Peter Pan. They were there at, we watched a little bit of that castle show. They have.
And the crocodiles were in the safari.
Safari, yeah.
So then we did the new Soarin'.
Yes.
Which
Mr. Testa may have ruined it for us.
Yeah, I have to say with Lynn, and we weren't even on the extreme end.
No, we were on the aisle of like what would be like the right side of the theater, and I was on the bottom row with Riker, and Will was on the row above us.
Lynn was gracious when he said there's some CGI to it.
Yeah.
The whole thing was CGI. It's like it's not just the polar bears looking up at you. It's
everything.
Right after that, there's the iceberg falling, and then the whale magically pops up.
Yeah,
and just and everything was distorted.
Strange. So they get
everything.
Michael Bay part of like doing
That was my big thing. So Riker had never been on. He never was tall enough. He was tall enough, and he kind of scared him, freak him out to like fly around. But he kind of got brave and he wanted to do it. So I sat him down. And he's kind of a weird kid where he knows a lot about travel locations in history. So I told him you could see the Eiffel Tower. You could see all these things, and he loves that. There's a jump scare in every scene.
Every scene?
Every sequence. And if it's not a jump scare, it's like dust flies in your face. Or
like the golf ball moment.
The golf ball every time. So like an airplane flies at you.
A seagull.
That's what he remembers of. He goes, it was a little scary because, you know, I thought I was going to hit that. He goes, I thought I was going to hit that seagull. I thought I was going to hit that airplane that was flying at us. You know, it's not the golf ball. There's nothing. They thrill rided it with not as much movement. Yeah. And here's kind of how I wrap up. If I'd never done it, it's an A-plus attraction. Like if I'd never done the original and I wasn't thinking about it from a critical mind, it is hands and downs, I feel like not hands down, not even close to the original, front of it being a feel like an Epcot attraction where
it's also
educational and it's cool and it's
also kind of cheesy. Like, whereas you flew over orange groves and smelled oranges, you fly over an island and smell suntan lotion.
Right, you smell like Hawaiian coconuts.
Yeah, it's like, an island doesn't smell like that. Like, that's just, you just wanted to spray a scent.
Right.
And that's not what it smells like. It should have smelled like salt water or something.
Yeah, that was the only smell I even noticed.
I smelled the grass when you like fly over the elephants that are romping around like perfectly.
CGI elephants.
Yeah.
The CG really, horrible. Really took a lot of it and the distortion. And yeah. I mean, it was
like the Taj Mahal was bent. So was the Eiffel Tower. Everything.
Especially as you got closer, it kind of bent more. And then like the Grand Finale with the fireworks is still there, but they've changed it. You know, it's a spoiler. They do like Spaceship Earth. And even it looks CG. And you shake around. And it was a great attraction still, but I feel like they could have done better by just, I understand it's probably cheaper or something
in
like that.
It almost felt rushed.
Yeah, I didn't. I can understand the complaints about it. I took away and say still it's a great ride, but it is not what it used to be when it comes to it being. I always felt like the original ride was something anyone could do. Like no kids are going to get scared. No grandparents are going to feel flustered by it. But this one now with the distortion making you kind of sick and the jump scares in every scene, I don't feel that way.
So do you feel like Disney's got so much pressure on it right now for new attractions and growth? Do you feel like Imagineers rushing some of these things? Or is it budget?
I don't know. How could CGI be cheaper than flying an airplane over with a camera? You know, like, I don't know, because CGI is so expensive. Trust me, we work in the film industry. We know how much that stuff. Like, it's not cheap CGI. Like, it'd be stuff you'd see in a film, but stuff you'd see in a film and go, that's not real.
Right.
So I don't know. It was obviously a decision made, and it could be that some of these locations were hard to shoot, or you couldn't get approval to shoot it. So they created ways to still show around the world.
And then after that, we went back for a nap.
Because Will had not slept.
Yeah, because I had only 4 hours of sleep and ran straight to the theme park. So we went and took a nap.
All right. So, Will, where were we?
So I just woke up from my crazy snorefest nap because I had only 4 hours of sleep. And we went really hard in Epcot. And I had a Tipsy Ducks in Love. Yeah. And that's, you know,
and Riker, best day ever. His first day was gung-ho crazy. The second day, he was ready to leave after Frozen. Like, he was exhausted. I think we just wore him out. But it was still fun. So we woke up late, probably around 5:30.
Yeah.
After our naps, and ran over to the Animal Kingdom, which, again, I'm not the hugest fan of, but we want to do some of the nighttime stuff for you guys so we can tell you what it's like. And we booked a reservation at Tiffin's, which a reservation was unnecessary because, as the waitress told us, no one's eating there. And it
That's
was
sad.
Well, also, there's not a ton of people in the park.
Yeah, it was also so real quiet.
If you think about Epcot being less people, there was even less people.
Oh, yeah, it felt dead in Animal Kingdom. And we got an hour before, got a 6-something reservation, or 5:50, like right at dinner time. And she said, the waitress said, they're not doing AP discounts. They're not doing a few of these things. And she thinks that's keeping people from coming. I don't know if that's true.
It's set back.
You would never find
you. The check-in stand is way up on the path.
Where is it?
It's so if you it's walk right in, before the Arambe market.
But you walk in, it's like on its own little. It's right by where you're going to go to Avatar.
Okay.
Yes, because Avatar land is behind it, where they're building it.
Which I did not realize how much you'd be able to see from like even the parking lot. Like, you can see the floating mountains and everything. Like, I was kind of shocked by that. I've been over to Animal Kingdom in a couple years probably, because it's not my favorite.
So I was really excited to try Tiffin's because We'd heard good things from Lynn.
That was good.
So we went in. We started off with the appetizer of the grilled octopus, which is it was actually slow cooked for 4 hours. Yeah. So it's really tender.
We waited a long time for it. No, it was ready.
But it was really good, really tender. It took on a lot of the flavor of the marinade they put in. It was a really good appetizer.
Yeah, I liked it.
Artichokes in it and some other vegetables. It was good.
I had sauce with it. I couldn't eat the sauce. I tried a little bit of it. I thought it was good. It's not my grilled octopus is not my favorite. The Riker would refused it.
Yeah.
He thought it was hilarious that we were even trying to eat it. Grilled octopus, not my favorite, but not my favorite because I don't generally like that flavor.
Yeah.
And I thought the flavor was good. I just couldn't really get past it. And they brought us some sort of strange bread.
Yeah, the bread, it was a focaccia, some sort of bread. It was
green.
And it had a pomegranate reduction with olive oil that was really bitter. And the bread itself was pretty good. It had a bitterness to the bread. But the reduction I just wasn't a fan of. It was just really bitter and a little tart and not fantastic.
So how was
the bread? You liked it.
How did it look? And I mean, I've heard amazing things about how Tiffin's looks.
Well, very nice. Really nice. Like a nice restaurant.
And what we've talked about is that they've kind of started to pay attention to some of the details that have taken us out of it.
Yes.
Like the
one of my biggest complaints.
Disney Parks bar napkin that with the drinks that normally come at even a $100 plate California Grill, not there. They had their own Tiffin's.
Coasters
that were, that it just those little touches made you feel nice. Like you're in a nice restaurant.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I've been kind of saying that a while. The first place I even really noticed that, I remember when the Cat Cora thing was open, and then I went like the first week excited, and they brought the traditional Disney Parks napkin, and I was like, really? Like it disconnected me. It was like I don't feel like I should be spending $100 a plate. I feel like I should be spending Disney Parks level of food. And got the quality of it. I think it took me out of it. This was really nice. The coasters helped.
Yeah.
And it really did something about not making it feel like Disney. There's some cool artifacts inside, stuff that you met. Because the whole thing, the idea is the Imagineers went around the world to design Animal Kingdom. So we're going to do the same thing as this restaurant goes. They went all over the world, tried these foods. And you're like, well, Animal Kingdom's been open like 25 years. How have they not? Like, okay, whatever. So they built this restaurant. They have some totems that were in there since before the park opened. And it was really neat. It was good. I had a pork loin with
a mole sauce.
Yeah, and the meat itself was phenomenal. I loved it. I could not eat from my dietary stuff the sides. It was all corn. And there was a
tamale.
Tamale. Will tried it.
I tried the tamale. It was really mushy. Yeah. It wasn't a very good tamale. But
I'm not a big tamale guy to begin with.
I did try a little bite of his pork loin with the mole. And it was very well
done. It was top notch. It was one of my favorites that I had during the whole trip. And really, in general, probably my favorite pork loin I've ever had. It was great.
And I had a lamb chop dish with it had like a spiced lentil base and like a mint kind of chimichurri sauce on top.
It looked really good.
I was very impressed. It was very good.
Riker, not a whole lot for him to look at. So he was kind of playing on the phone. He was also getting tired. So I let him, or still just kind of waking up. So I gave him my phone and he had spaghetti. They had kids spaghetti and he had that spaghetti and marinara sauce.
Which is what's fantastic for me about this. When Animal Kingdom opened, there wasn't even a table service restaurant.
Right.
And so it took years, like 10 years for them to get.
I would highly recommend it. Like I really enjoyed the food. And the service was pretty good. It was really good.
Any cocktails there?
Did not because I was going to have I looked at the cocktail menu. They looked fine. I was really excited about being in the park and getting an adult whip for dessert. And, since I was kind of tired and I knew I was going to do a few things later, I did not have a cocktail with dinner. So after that, we didn't have dessert either because we had a fast pass for the,
and you knew you were going to have that.
Right.
The drink.
So we left.
Just kind of a dessert drink.
Nighttime safari. We were on our way. I stopped in the Harambe Market area and picked up a adult whip with the. I got the dark rum instead of the coconut rum.
Nice.
And it was my first time having.
I was the in adult my whip. Shirt, my yeah. adult whip shirt.
So Logan took a picture with it, but did not partake. No. And I think they need to find a better glass to put it in, because when they have the Dole Whip coming out of the top. It's fine if it's just ice cream and you're eating it. But because there's liquid, whenever you put any pressure on
everything
on the ice cream, like to try to scoop it, a lot of the rum spills out over the sides. And it's like, well, this is kind of a kind of a bummer, but still good, really good. I just kind of let it melt a little bit and swirled it together. And
what's a bummer sometimes at Animal Kingdom with like even like their straws or those cardboard straws. I think it might have been.
I kind of like those. I like the paper straws. But I do. I'm a fan of it. I don't know. We listened to that little band play some Paul Simon. You can call me, you can call me Al or whatever it is, which felt weird, but it was still great. Then we walked over and we had still a few minutes, and it was Festival Lion King was starting. We thought about going. We're like, and we're not going to go see Festival Lion King. We've done enough Lion King today. But what I did want to see was the Lion Guard stuff that they added, the Lion Guard experience. Check in, you get to become a member of the Lion Guard. So I looked around. I knew where Kion was supposed to be, because my son loves the Lion Guard, and they had removed it. And they removed it, and I talked to two people. One person said, I don't know what you're talking about. The other person said, oh, yeah, that was only a limited time thing. And I looked back, and they opened the thing up in February. And I feel like they did kind of a big rollout on it and promoted it. Like, come, you trek through the whole parks and find all the Lion Guard characters.
It's gone.
It's gone. And part of Will was just like, they...
It's not like it's a ride that costs money or a parade that costs money to operate. They just... It's a statue. Why did they take it away?
And it took probably two cast members. Most of the time you go up those things, you get your little book.
That's it.
That's it.
Even if they did away with that part and just left a statue, it fits.
Yeah, you could still see where they were. And it was just odd. Like, in one, it's like, I understand it's limited time because you're promoting the show, but like, how about limited a time enough for everyone, for a year, for people to see it?
It wasn't there when I was there in January. So between...
No, they put it in late February. I looked it
up. So like not even 6 months.
Right. It was in when I got there last time. We didn't make it over to the Animal Kingdom in March. But yeah, they didn't even do it 6 months. It's like, well, that's honestly... Like, I know I'm not going to say it's not fair, but it kind of is to tourists. Like, don't promote it because most people, by the time you announced it and put it out there, were planning their summer trips. And we're never going to get to experience it. So that was a super bummer, mainly because the Lion Guard is huge right now and just hot. So why would you dump it? Like, why not extend this thing?
Sorry I even brought it up.
Right.
I'm sad for you.
It wasn't sad for me. I didn't really care. I was more just confused. I didn't even tell Riker because I thought it'd be a fun little surprise. Oh, look, there's Kion. And I didn't know if we'd have time because we were going to do the safari. We just had time. And that was odd. Like, why? Like, Disney, if you can answer that, Disney people, if you're, I want to know, why take out some sort of new attraction you've essentially built? To end it so quickly when it's probably one of the most popular shows on Disney Junior right now.
Something must have gone wrong. It's like there was boats.
It's taking pictures.
It's a statue.
It's a statue.
Nothing went wrong. They just pulled it.
Yeah. It's odd. And maybe it wasn't popular, but still leave the statues or something for the kids. Because honestly, it's my number one complaint. I will say this, and we'll get very close to the end here. Number one complaint about Animal Kingdom, the reason it's still my least favorite park, and I'm not interested in attending very much, is the lack of stuff, attractions. Yes, there are animals, but I can see that at my zoo. Lack of attractions that are for kids, little kids, that they will enjoy, very few. The Safari and Finding Nemo the Musical, and maybe Festival Lion King.
And the Dino Dumbo thing.
Yeah, but I don't really care. You have Dumbo, right. You have better versions of that.
Better versions.
That is just a fair ride they rethemed. Animal Kingdom, before we get to the Nighttime Safari.
Let's go to Nighttime Safari.
It's my least favorite park.
So we go to Nighttime Safari. It was, even though we had a fast pass, we still got corralled together, and it was just...
They got to fix that. It's been going on for years.
It was so uncomfortable. Like,
it was panic attack inducing.
Yeah, as someone who does have some a level of social anxiety that's, clinical... It was just very uncomfortable. Like, it's hot, it's muggy.
The loading part?
And people are like shoved up next to you.
It was back and forth.
It just was, I almost said, I need to just step out.
I almost asked if I could have talked to a cast member, but we were so, which honestly tells you something. We were so smushed together that I couldn't even get to the cast member who had let us in that part of the ride to say, hey, I don't know if you have, because they have like another entrance that is for people that are, special needs. Like, I feel like I would have been like, look, let my son scrub out. You're about to have a panic attack. I'm about to have a panic attack. It was when we talk about back the time when my wife started using the guest assistance pass, it felt like that. Like, she would have had a complete meltdown in it. It was horrendous. That being said, it was like 8-ish, getting dark, and we did the Nighttime Safari.
It was like the perfect time, I feel like. Right. So
When we got on, it was still lightish.
Yeah, so we go through, and we go through like the big open area, and it's still lightish, so much so that the faux
sunset screen thing.
First of all, it looked incredibly real. It was really cool. We got Riker loved it because the giraffes stopped our truck.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was a different experience than I've ever had in one of those. really cool. Then once it started to even get darker and you got to some of those areas where some of the rare animals like the scimitar horned antelope. And
they like lit it up with kind of blue light.
Oh, it was so cool. I loved it. They did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first half of it. I thought it was amazing. You had the real set, you had the giraffes were great. Some of the water buffaloes, the hippos were awesome. Like all crowded together. Really neat. And then all of a sudden, and it got much darker. And Will's right. You could see the fake sunlight was already out. We could kind of tell it was a screen more than usual. By the end of it, you couldn't, though, because it had gotten pitch black dark. When we got about the halfway point, when you got to the point where it should be the white rhinos and the lions, and
so you got past the elephants basically. And
there was one elephant like you could barely see it.
See Riker his behind.
The male elephant on the one on the right.
This was the left.
Yeah,
and Riker could barely see it. There was nothing on the right. I don't think he could see the elephant. It was that small.
He could have.
And then really after that, we saw nothing. And when I mean nothing, I mean like occasionally there'd be a bird. Occasionally there'd be maybe a zebra.
Well, we saw the scimitar horn antelope was like the last thing we saw.
But legitimately, like, no lions, no elephants. And they built it up. You know, our driver built it up like, here come the white rhinos. Nothing. Here come the lions. Nothing. And I know that's out of the control of the cast members. But Disney, again, we're looking at you and saying, look, I can go to a zoo and see these animals all the time, make this experience cool. There's a way that during the open hours, you can corral them to an area.
The only animal that I can...
And I know that's against what they don't do, but I kind of... It took a big chunk out of it.
Just build the space. Build the space differently.
It wasn't fun.
The only thing that's underwhelming consistently is the lions, unless you catch them right at sunset.
Right.
Well, and that's what's absurd. They're nocturnal animals, so we should have seen them at this point.
They should have been out.
This is when they should have been out, and they weren't.
Yeah. It was a bit of a bummer. And after that, Riker really wanted to see Wishes because he wanted to see Tinkerbell fly off.
This is where our paths diverted.
He couldn't tell. Of course, he didn't tell me that till later in the day. Like, I really want to see Tinkerbell fly out of the castle. So, like, okay, fine. So this is probably 8:30. We beelined it to the car. Great parking. And we headed to Wishes. Or we headed to our hotel. And then we walked from Bay Lake Tower to the Magic Kingdom. We watched the pre-show, which he loved, the projection show. And I'll let Will go on his little rant here. I'll just finish what we did. Projection show, which was great. Probably his favorite thing at Magic Kingdom nighttime stuff. He loved when Wreck-It Ralph destroyed the building. We watched up until Tinkerbell flew off, and then he was saying, I'm done. And instead of being done, like, he doesn't really care that much about the Wishes show. We went and met Mickey Mouse, which was a great idea until we got out of Mickey Mouse. Great interaction with Mickey. Lots of fun. He played with his balloon. It was really cool. And Riker loved it. And you know, it was a great way to be the last thing we were planning on doing at Disney. Meet Mickey. Again, talking Mickey. Awesome way to end. Getting out of there was pretty much hell on earth with the amount of people that were leaving. And we weren't going to go monorail, even though it was one stop to Contemporary. We just walked. And it was a long walk. But I'll pause here and let Will take over.
Yeah. So I did something brand new. And that's what I'm excited about because I'm the first person on the show to do this.
Yeah, the only person.
And right, it's only been open since it'll be two weeks, but it was hadn't even been open a week when I went, and that was the Abracadabar. And it is over at Boardwalk. It's right next to where Flying Fish is. It's got like kind of the movie theater marquee out front. It's really cool. Flying Fish, they're doing way too long of renovations on, still doing that.
They announced opening day.
Oh, okay.
They did. I'll look it up real quick. It's sometime in August.
If they're getting it in August, they're pulling it together because you could still see inside, and it was pretty destroyed in there. So I went into Abracadabar. Terry had actually said, "Oh, you gotta go do it when you get down there." Showed me the menu, and I was expecting honestly like a Trader Sam's kind of experience. I was expecting kind of a over-the-top, like a magic castle kind of, like performers coming around doing stuff, or they're having like gimmicks to a lot of stuff. And I was a little afraid that that's what it was going to be like. I didn't really want it to be like
August 3rd, so in 2 days.
Oh, wow. Great.
When you hear this, it's open.
It's open. I went in, and it is not like that.
And the reason why I knew that you had to go is I saw another one of our podcasting friends post a picture, and I saw the Wallow Bourbon, and I was like, dude, when Will, if you go down, you've got to go.
So you sit down, and they even tell you, they're like, we're a whiskey-forward bar, so most of our cocktails are based off that. They're very knowledgeable about bourbon. I had a conversation with the bartender about Booker's Bourbon, and had a really good time, really good staff, really good bartenders. They also have their own Abracadabar coasters that are really cool. It's like a letterpress design with top hat and a magic wand, and then it says Abracadabar around the side, really classy. It has like posters, like Houdini posters, and some top hats and some very like tasteful decorations, but it's not like performers coming up. Now, I don't know if it other nights maybe they do have this or anything, but
yeah, no magic.
This was a Thursday night, no magic. It was just kind of a themed bar like you'd go to in a city.
Yeah.
And the cocktails, you know, there were some that had like, there was one that the sweetener was cotton candy. So they pour the liquid over it and the cotton candy melts into it and things like that. But I just had a Manhattan that was really solidly made, a rye Manhattan. And I also just had a pour of bourbon later, and they were very friendly. They had Glencairn glasses, which is like the official whiskey tasting glass. You can find out more about this on the podcast, my other podcast. But it was a very good experience. I was super pleased with it walking away. I was expecting it to be something that was a little hokey because it was magic themed. And like, while I love that for Trader Sam's, it's not what I want with like a whiskey bar, and it wasn't. So it was really cool.
So since we're talking about lounges, and since we're plugging a podcast, be sure and check out the DVC podcast, Top of the World. And since we're talking about Top of the World,
right,
you guys found a way into Top of the World. You tweeted.
We snuck it. No,
you were smuggled in someone's luggage. You guys went in someone's stroller, right? No, you went to Top of the World.
Yes, thanks
to
one of our listeners. We were staying there, and I told
Thank you, Jim.
Yes, thank you to Jim, Jim Spangler, who helped us. No relation to Egon, or maybe he is. If he is, awesome. We tweeted out that we were looking for someone to get us into the lounge, and actually he's part of our Chicago group, and I saw him post, hey, I'm over at Epcot while we were there, so I sent him a message, and we just missed crossing paths, and he's a really great listener and a nice guy, so we never met him, but I'd seen him interact before on our Facebook pages and things. So while Riker and Will were napping, I was half awake, and I was like, oh, what if he's DVC? So I just sent him a message. I said, you DVC? He said, yeah. I said, you want to come take us to the Top of the World tonight? We'll buy you a drink. And he's like, absolutely. So he met us right after Wishes. It's about 10:30. Will had just got back from Abracadabra. I went up, toweled off, got back down. Me and Riker at 10:30 went up and hung out in the Top of the World, which, you know, I'm not a bar guy, more like Will is. I'm more of just a hang out and have a nice restaurant type thing. It was awesome. I loved it.
It was great.
A lot smaller than I thought, but in a good way. We just missed the Wishes traffic, so it was very empty. There was maybe another couple there.
Yeah.
And so it was me and Riker and Will and Jim, and we had a great discussion. I had a nice glass of scotch, which is probably against my diet, but we were there. Riker had a little monorail, which is their kids cocktails, which is like orange juice and passion fruit or something. He didn't really drink much
Grenadine
of it.
And
he mainly played on my phone, and we stayed out way too late with him. And I really loved it. Thought it was beautiful. Love that chandelier. I wish the top of it was like a mezzanine. Like it looks like it should be. It's not, but it looks really cool. And the deck looked nice for watching Wishes. I told Terry, if I'm not a DVC person, and right now I don't see the attraction yet for me personally to do it, if they had one of those private lounges, and Riker was excited, told him there's a secret room on top of the hotel. He's like, what? He was so excited. He has to go the next night, but Jim wasn't with us. So I told him, you know, it's a secret lounge, and we went up there. If they had that lounge at all the DVC resorts, like say, or the top, let's say the deluxes, if Grand Floridian, Polynesian, Top of the World, like the ones that looked over fireworks, maybe something for Epcot, I would consider it purely for that because I'm a perks guy, and it was so well done.
Yeah. And I was also very happy because they had a bourbon flight. So I was able to try three different bourbons while I was there, and it was fun because Jim, he's listening to my other podcast, so that he said that he's now getting into bourbon, so I was able to do a little impromptu bourbon tasting with him there by trying three different ones. Really cool thing for bourbon fans, they have a Knob Creek barrel proof, so it's a high proof bourbon, like 120 proof, that is the Disney Select barrel. So you can get a Knob Creek barrel select that Disney, someone at Disney's probably in the food department selected this barrel, and it's the only place that you can get it is at Disney. So I got to try that. Jim and I both had that in our flight, and we really enjoyed it.
Well, I was definitely jealous of you guys, not just being top of the world, but getting a little quick trip. And the main reason you guys went, I mean, you had some time, but you guys were able to go to Claremont and check that out. And that's,
that was the business deal.
Right. For the trip.
To wrap up this entire, because that was kind of the end. It was like midnight before we all got to bed, including my son. We went downstairs, went to bed, and woke up early next morning and just did, like Will said, we ended up doing Chick-fil-A drive-through and went to Claremont and got to check out the venue and do a walkthrough and set up the schedule for the evening. And talk about the podcast, talk about all the bands and the tables and things we're going to need. It was awesome to go out there and kind of visualize what it's going to be like. Again, that's on September 30th, under 2 months away. We hope to see you guys there. The website is dlpfest.com. You've heard us talk about it. All your favorite bands from Disney Park for the last 20 years are going to be there. And we're going to have a blast doing it. But after that, I was supposed to be driving to the beach to meet my family. And we had some family issues happen. And my wife came back home and said, you guys should come back home too instead of doing this drive. So we couldn't get a flight out that day. We booked it for the next night. Will went to go spend time with his family.
Who live in Orlando.
So we kind of split off at that point. And Riker and I went to the Crayola experience again, which you've heard me talk about. So
I was really hoping that Will went to the Crayola experience.
No, he did not. I won't spend too much time on that. You guys can go back and listen to what my story is about that. I really enjoyed that. We are annual pass holders there because it's so cheap. So we went in there for a couple hours. I went over to the Think Geek store. They have a brick and mortar Think Geek store in the Florida Mall.
Ooh.
Crazy far walk, though. Alert from the Crayola. We ended up having to rent a stroller. Like, I couldn't take it, and he couldn't walk it. Like, it was crazy far. Forget how big that mall is. And after we ate at, just quickly ate at a Waffle House that his favorite YouTuber ate at, and that was probably the highlight of his trip.
all the other things.
And he loved Evan's Waffle House from Evan2HD. And he took pictures. He ordered what Evan had. He was wearing Evan's shoes. He didn't know it was a surprise, and he recognized. I said, "Do you know where we are?" He's like, "Waffle House." I go, "No, but look around." Because there's a video where they walk to the Waffle House from their Econo Lodge. He's like, "We're at Evan's Waffle House. Is Evan here?" I'm like, "No, I'm not here." He's like, "Can we go see Evan after?" I'm like, "He doesn't live here. He was on vacation. Remember?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." And we don't know Evan and his family. And if Evan and his family are listeners to WW today, please reach out because my son wants to hang. and it would just be awesome. And he took pictures. He loved it. We went back and took a quick nap. He actually napped on the way drive home, and this is just going to wrap it up. And we went to for our evening because we had already kind of done our park time, and we went to Medieval Times, which I wasn't sure how my son would like, and he loved it. It was the greatest time. I know I preach off property a little too much, and some people don't like that. Medieval Times, if you have a 3 to 8 year old, probably, my goodness, or four, I say four, he's almost four. 4 to 8 year old that likes that kind of stuff, Star Wars and action adventure. He's going to have the time of his life.
So
and we did
see it in real life.
Oh my goodness. We were on the front row. It was just an awesome night. I encourage everyone to take a look at Medieval Times. I know it's a little bit of a haul. It took us a little bit to get there, but with traffic, but it wasn't bad. And it was so much fun. And our Green Knight, he won, which was awesome.
Gotta love it.
And when he won, Riker lost his mind. He was high-fiving people. He was hugging people he didn't know. I was kind of having to hold him. It was like
don't do that, son.
It's like he won a big, like was like a big football fan and won. He lost his mind. Because I kind of prepped him for losing because you typically don't win. I mean, there's a 1 in 6 chance, especially with Green Knight. And he won, and Riker lost his mind. Special thanks to everyone at Medieval Times for helping us out with that. And you should check out their website, medievaltimes.com, or follow them on Twitter at medievaltimesfl. And just go. You're going to have a good time. I had a blast. It's going to be an every trip thing probably for us, as long as I'm with my son. And again, it was just a blast. I absolutely loved it. And that wrapped up our evening. He had a bathroom emergency in the traffic on the way back. We stopped in a Spanish language church. And they let him use the restroom. If we agreed to stay for a couple songs, we stayed for a couple songs.
For real?
For real. And then actually, they said you go in, but please stay for the concert. So we stayed, watched a couple Spanish language worship songs. It's actually a lot of fun. Sweet people over there at the church on 192. And had some Dunkin' Donuts, and that's how the night ended. Because I have to say, Medieval Times, 100% take your kids. The only part that's a little bit hard, you may want to prep to go to McDonald's after. Because the food for a little kid, a little hard. Because it's all eating your hands. When they drop a bowl of scalding hot soup in front of a 3-year-old that he has to drink with his hands, a little hard to do. I may have asked and they may have provided something, but that was my only tip. Just, you're not there for the food. The food was fine for me, but for him, it was a little difficult. Little older kid would be fine. But overall, he lost his mind, loved it, loved the store we bought him. And actually, reasonably priced stuff. Like, he got a shield and a sword that was made out of wood for like $20, $25. Reasonably priced stuff. And It was a great time. And that really did it.
I heard there was a little bit of a packing situation.
Oh, yeah. So
I'm hearing everywhere you go, you're buying something.
Yeah, so we bought a lot of stuff because I was planning on driving back home. I was like, just throw that giant Mickey into the car. Ended up having to fly home. So while we were at the Florida Mall, I already knew. And I picked up a Mickey Mouse giant suitcase, and we had to check it back. So that was it. Next morning, we got up, and we met Will at the airport and flew home. And it was pretty simple, right? Stayed on his iPad the entire trip. It was great. I think that'll do it for our trip report.
I think we did it.
I'm so tired now from talking about it. That's going to do it for today's episode. Special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter, offkilter.net, Off Kilter Rocks. Also, thanks to Off to Neverland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation, use them. Websites go to neverland.com, as Will likes to say.
All you got
to
do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
See you on Wednesday.